The grace and the peace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Good morning, everyone. It's good to be gathered on this Lord's Day. On a Sunday, traditionally, when the church ponders the mystery of the Holy Trinity, the first Sunday after Pentecost. And we do pray that God and the entirety of His being will be present to us today. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit ministering to His people, empowering them for service. We extend a very warm welcome to any visitors with us this morning. Hope you'll feel at home amongst us. And tea and coffee served in the large hall afterwards if you would like to gather with us there. But let's now worship God together as we sing, "Be Still, for the Presence of the Lord, the Holy One, is Here." Let's sing this together. Friends, these are the words of the Apostle Paul, and they will lead us into prayer. The final words of his second letter to the church at Corinth are these: "May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all." Let us pray. God, our Heavenly Father, we rejoice today that you are present with us in the completeness of your being. You come to us as the Father who loves us and desires only the best for his children. You come to us as the Son who has loved us and has given his life for us, that we might walk as close to the Father as he is himself. And you come to us as the Spirit who binds us together as your people, the Spirit who leads us to your truth, and the Spirit who empowers us for service. Almighty God, we cannot fathom the depth of your being, but you have touched us as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and we pray that we would continue to live in our awareness of all that you are, and all that you have done for us, and all that you are seeking to do. We're sorry, Father, that so often we have lived with a restricted view of our God. We have possessed you as our mascot, as one who has been created according to our desires, according to our priorities, according to our perspective on life. But continually you turn us towards your word, where we learn the truth of your being. And we pray that by your grace we would be conscious of this as we seek to go forward from this day as a faithful people, with our God going before us, the God who promises much and will be faithful in all that he has said. And these prayers and the prayers of our hearts we offer today in the name and for the sake of Jesus our Lord. And we pray that you would stay with us now, Father, as we join together in the prayer that Jesus has taught us to say. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Well, good morning, Samuel. Have we got any other children hiding apart from my own? Oh, we've got Kieran over there, another one of mine. Oh, and we've got... Who are you down there? What's your name? Okay, shout it out. What's your name? Christopher? No? Esther. Alistair. Alistair. Excellent. Right, I've got it. So we've got Alistair, we've got Samuel, and we've got Kieran. Okay. Well, Kieran, you're going to come out and help me, aren't you? Now, here he comes. Bit quicker. Right. Would you stand up there for me, Kieran? Right. This is Kieran. Holding up. Are we all in agreement this is Kieran? Yes. Everyone that knows him knows this is Kieran?
Yes.
Not another boy? Definitely Kieran. Right. Well, Kieran is also my son. And he is also Stephen's son. So he's got another thing to hand up, hold up, and it says son. But he's still Kieran, isn't he? Yes. Now, Kieran is little brother to Samuel. And he's also big brother to Malachi, the baby who should be through there. So here is another label. Can you hold that up? Brother. But he's still Kieran, yes? Yes, good. Now, Kieran has lots of friends. He's got friends here in church, and he's got friends at Killamont Primary School, and he's got friends... Other friends? Plenty of friends? So he is also a friend. But is he still Kieran? Yes, right. Well, that was my attempt at explaining the Trinity. So we know God, we believe in one God, but we know there is God the Father, there is God the Son, and there is God the Holy Spirit. And all three are in one. So that's what Trinity means, three in oneness. And we can't deny the Father, and we can't deny the Son, and we can't deny the Holy Spirit, or we get the wrong nature of who God is. But we don't have any children to explain that to today apart from Samuel and Alistair. But hopefully you've got an idea of what we mean by Trinity. So when you hear the word Trinity, or sometimes when you hear people in church praying, you sometimes hear them praying to God, God the Father. And sometimes you hear them praying to God the Son. And sometimes you hear them praying to God the Holy Spirit. But we're still talking about one God. Just like there's just one Kieran. Maybe, thank goodness. I didn't really say that. But you stay there just 1 minute. Now also, Kieran was born into the Brennan family on the, let's get this right, the 5th of May 2010. Is that right? So he was born a Brennan, but he's also part of the Bowie family. And he has brothers, and you have aunties, and you have uncles, and you have grandparents. Anything else? So you have quite a big family, don't you? But it's not the only family. Samuel.
God's family.
God's family. Well done. That's right. So we might have all been born into a particular family, but when we come to know Jesus Christ as our Lord and as our Savior, we are part of God's family, this big, huge family. And we're connected to people all over the world who are believers in Jesus. And it's a big, big family. And Kieran, Samuel and Stephen, he's going to really love me for this, we're going to teach you a new song about what it means to be church. Because church is not just about a building. That's not what church is all about. Church is about the people that are followers of Jesus. And we're going to teach you a song all about that. But we're going to teach you just the chorus just now. And then I'm going to say a prayer. And then the Brennan family are going to stay up here and do the actions to the chorus. And if you're brave enough, you can join in. Because it's really simple. Although it's not very easy to learn a new song, hold a piece of paper, and use your hands. But if you can manage all that, then you're winning. So Stephen and Samuel, come out. And we're going to teach you the chorus just now. So it's called... How does it go again? I am the church. So it's... I am the church... You are the church. We are the church together. All who follow Jesus, all around the world. Yes, we're a church together. So it's all about unity, all about coming together as a family. So we do that all, do it one more time. So, I am the church, you are the church, we are the church together. All who follow Jesus, all around the world. Yes, we're a church together. You got that? Or do you want it one more time? Can we do it one more time? Okay. With the music. I am the church, you are the church, we are the church together. All who follow Jesus, all around the world. Yes, we're a church together. Oh, brilliant. Right, thank you. Do you want to sit down?
Yeah.
It's good to have a big family, isn't it? Right, let's say a prayer and then we'll sing that song together. Let us pray. Dear God, we thank you today for our families and for those people that we live with at home who care for us, love us, and provide for our needs. But we remember people today who are sad and who have lost family members and who may now be living on their own. We remember today that we are part of a much bigger family of God. And we thank you that through Jesus we can come into your great big church family. Thank you too for our church family here at St. Paul's. People here today that are known and loved by God. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. So let's sing our song. Before we come to listen to God's word, we're going to sing our prayer of understanding, which is Spirit of God, unseen as the wind, and we'll sing this sitting down. First Bible reading comes from the book of Isaiah, and I'm going to be reading chapter 6, verses 1 to 8, which can be found on page 690 in your pew Bible. That's Isaiah chapter 6, verses 1 to 8. The call experience of the prophet Isaiah. In the year that King Isaiah died, I saw the Lord seated on a throne, high and exalted, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Above him were seraphims, each with six wings. With two wings they covered their faces, with two they covered their feet, and with two they were flying. And they were calling to one another, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord Almighty. The whole earth is full of his glory." At the sound of their voices, the doorposts and the threshold shook, and the temple was filled with smoke. "Woe to me," I cried. "I am ruined, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips, and my eyes have seen the King, the Lord Almighty." Then one of the seraphims flew to me with a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with tongs from the altar. With it he touched my mouth and said, "See, this has touched your lips. Your guilt has been taken away and your sin atoned for." Then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, Whom shall I send? And who will go for us? And I said, Here I am, send me. And our second reading comes from the Gospel according to John. And we're going to be reading chapter 3, looking at verses 1 through to 21, which can be found on page 1065. So that's John chapter 3, looking at verses 1 to 21. Now there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a member of the Jewish ruling council. He came to Jesus at night and said, Rabbi, we know you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one could perform the miraculous signs you were doing if God were not with him. In reply, Jesus declared, I tell you the truth. No one can see the kingdom of God unless he is born again. How can a man be born when he is old? Nicodemus asked. Surely he can't enter a second time into his mother's womb to be born? Jesus answered, I tell you the truth. No one can enter the kingdom of God unless he is born of water and the Spirit. Flesh gives birth to flesh, but the Spirit gives birth to the Spirit. You should not be surprised at my saying, you must be born again. The wind blows wherever it pleases. You hear its sound, but you cannot tell where it comes from or where it is going. So it is with everyone born of the Spirit. How can this be? Nicodemus asked. You are Israel's teacher, said Jesus, and you do not understand these things. I tell you the truth. We speak of what we know, and we testify to what we have seen. But still you people do not accept our testimony. I have spoken to you of earthly things, and you do not believe. How then will you believe if I speak of heavenly things? No one has ever gone into heaven except the one who came from heaven, the Son of Man. Just as Moses lifted up the snake in the desert, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, that everyone who believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe stands condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of God's one and only Son. This is the verdict. Light has come into the world, but men love darkness instead of light, because their deeds were evil. Everyone who does evil hates the light and will not come into the light for fear that his deeds will be exposed. But whoever lives by the truth comes into the light, so that it may be seen plainly that what he has done has been done through God. May God bless to us these readings from his holy word. We'll come and we'll sing together. Amazing Grace. Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the thoughts of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our Saviour and our Redeemer. Amen. On the 27th of August, 1977, around midday, at Middlesbrough General Hospital in North Yorkshire, I was born. And I was born on a Saturday. And I often wondered, was that significant? And as a young girl, I was always intrigued by that rhyme. Monday's child is fair of face. Tuesday's child is full of grace. Wednesday's child is full of woe. Thursday's child has far to go. Friday's child is loving and giving. Saturday's child must work hard for a living. But the child that's born on the Sabbath day is fair and wise and good and gay. Are you a Sabbath? Are you? Oh! Now, I didn't know that. I didn't know that. I was going to say, I'm kind of glad I wasn't Wednesday's child full of woe. But I always wanted to be Sunday's child. Well, there you go. He's beat me to it. But alas, I must work hard for a living. And this is especially true because I can tell you the exact date of my spiritual birth as well. What Christians sometimes call being born again. So I was born again on a Saturday. Saturday the 29th of October 2005. In my wee flat in Maryhill, praying and listening to the song we've just, the hymn we've just sang, Amazing Grace. So when some Christians believe in Jesus for the first time, it can be quite a spectacular event. And this was what it was like for me. A sudden realization when I realized that my past wrongdoings had been set free by Jesus alone. Christ died for me. And it was also like this for a minister called Nicky Gumbel, who is the minister at Holy Trinity Brompton in London. Some of you might be aware of him because he was one of the founders of Alpha and also does a really good app called Bible in 1 Year if you're interested in reading the Bible every day. Well, when he came to faith for the first time when he was 18 years old. And he says there was a painful moment when he was fully aware of his present sinful condition before a holy God. Just like how we heard in our reading from the prophet Isaiah. Isaiah, when he was called to be God's prophet, fell unclean before God. But then God touched his mouth and said, "See, this has touched your lips. Your guilt is taken away and your sin atoned for." And this is the same for Nicky Gumbel. Though he believed, through his belief in Jesus, his sin was taken away, and then he experienced tidal waves of joy, exhilaration, relief, forgiveness, and love as the gospel message took root in his heart. And Nicky Gumbel, as a young man, said how glad he was that he had not become a Christian earlier, since he was able to experience the difference between life with God and life without God. And I've heard myself say the same thing, that I'm able to fully appreciate what God has given me through Jesus because I can compare and contrast my life before and after. But a more mature Christian leader said to Nicky that this was the wrong way of thinking and suggested the sooner people experience life with God, the better. We're all created to live in a relationship with God. And without that, life really never makes sense. So coming to see Jesus sooner rather than later is surely what we want for other people. And people have different ways of coming to see Jesus. I have friends who have a steady growing faith in Jesus from childhood. And I know that my husband knew Jesus from the age of 6 or 7 years. So how we come to know our Lord Jesus isn't what's important. But what is important is that there's a moment in our life when we believe and we choose Jesus. Because let's listen again to the challenging statement from Jesus about being his follower. "I tell you the truth. No one can enter the kingdom of God unless he is born of water and the Spirit. Flesh gives birth to flesh, but the Spirit gives birth to the Spirit. You should not be surprised at my saying you must be born again. The wind blows wherever it pleases, you hear its sound, but you cannot tell where it comes from or where it is going. So it is everyone born of the Spirit. You must be born again. There is no way round this requirement. Jesus insists that to enter the kingdom of God, we need to experience new birth, the miracle of regeneration. So just as we have a physical birth by which we enter the world, so too are we to have a spiritual birth where we enter God's kingdom. And how this happens is both mysterious and miraculous. And no one can really fathom the process, just as we can't really explain or understand how the wind blows. Yet the impact of this is life-changing. It's like starting all over again as a new person. So Jesus makes it plainly clear we cannot earn our salvation by good works and careful living. And I might be Saturday's child, but no amount of hard work can I work my way into God's kingdom. And nor can we inherit our place in God's kingdom just by being born into a Christian family. We can only enter the kingdom by being spiritually reborn when we believe in Jesus. So the kingdom of God is personal and requires a living relationship with our Lord Jesus Christ. The kingdom of God is not ethnic or national. And the kingdom of God is certainly not just for white middle class people. And its entry requirement isn't a theology degree, but instead repentance and spiritual birth. I think there's so much that can be drawn from our scripture reading today, but I think maybe God might be asking us just to think about this. Are we spiritually alive in Christ? For those of us that have had that dramatic conversion moment, there is a temptation that that moment itself becomes the centre of what Christianity is all about. As though God just wanted to give us this single wonderful spiritual experience that we've to remember with a warm glow. And I've known Christians that have never matured or grown from this point. Their walk with Jesus doesn't bear fruit, excite or ignite anything. They've stayed static. They are not spiritually alive in Christ. And I was thinking about this, and I was thinking not maturing in our faith in Jesus is like someone getting their birth certificate and framing it on their wall and insisting that everyone that comes into their house to have a look at their birth certificate. But what's important is not that once upon a time that we were born. What matters is that we are now alive and that day by day and moment by moment we are showing evidence of strength and of purpose. So when Jesus talks to Nicodemus in our passage about new birth or spiritual birth, we shouldn't suppose that this means that we should spend all our time thinking about the moment of our own spiritual birth. But instead, we should be growing, looking at our spiritual life now for signs of life and to see if we are maturing. Are we spiritually alive in Christ? True faith in Jesus unites humanity with God's powerful Spirit who overwhelms and transforms and helps us to be God's disciples who then go out to make disciples. Jesus transforms the whole person and we become new creations in Christ. And I just love the words of the Apostle Paul when he says, it's no longer I who live, but it's Christ who lives in me. Can we say that? So conversion stories really can help to remind us of the power of God. And it's for this reason I really love hearing people's testimonies of faith. Testimonies of faith that tell us and show us that Jesus can truly transform. And the other month we heard the testimony of Linda Gow, her story of how Jesus had transformed her life and how her faith in Jesus still guides the decisions that she makes, especially for the loving care that she has for people on the outskirts of society. And she understands her role in the Great Commission to go out there and to make disciples of others. So when we hear these stories, they remind us that Christianity isn't something that we just follow, but it is a power that transforms through the living Christ. Christianity is about the Creator God's mission to transform his world and all his people. And that transformation is accomplished not through signs of power, shows of force, unavoidable miracles that drop us to our knees, but through the transformed lives of people who have encountered the living Jesus and who go out and tell others about Jesus. And conversion stories really help us to understand more fully verses like we've heard today in John chapter 3, verses 20 to 21. Everyone who does evil hates the light and will not come into the light for fear that his deeds will be exposed. But whoever lives by the truth comes into the light so that it may be seen plainly that what he has been done through God. Nicodemus was challenged to think about the frontier between what is above and what is below, between the darkness and the light. And the Gospel of John really majors on this issue. And John talks a lot about the light and the darkness and contrasts children of light with children of the darkness. The darkness symbolizing the realm of evil, untruth and unbelief. And Jesus, of course, is the light and eternal life. So conversion stories remind us about the power of God and helps us to see that people can move from periods of great darkness, drug addiction, gambling, alcoholism, pornography, psychological pain, isolation, neglect, depression. There's so much that the darkness can cause. But Jesus alone can move us from the darkness to the radiance of the light. And it's only Jesus that has the power to transform life forever. But we have a role in that transformation, and our role is belief. So it won't come as any surprise to any of you that belief is the central purpose of why John wrote his gospel. John wrote his gospel so that people that read it would believe in Jesus. And this can be seen in the prologue of John 1, verses 12 to 13. Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision or of a husband's will, but born of God. So the phrase believing in Jesus is repeated throughout the gospel, and John records conversations that Jesus had with others where Jesus invites that person to believe in him. And the conversation we heard today between Nicodemus and Jesus in our passage can maybe be contrasted with the conversation Jesus had with the Samaritan woman. You might remember that the Samaritan woman at the well was brought to faith quite quickly and dropped everything. And she ran into town to tell other people she had encountered the Messiah. And this is what happened in John chapter 4. Many of the Samaritans from that town believed in Jesus because of the woman's testimony. He told me everything I ever did. So when the Samaritans came to him, they urged him to stay with them. And he stayed 2 days, and because of his words, many more became believers. They said to the woman, "We no longer believe just because of what you have said. Now we have heard for ourselves, and we know that this man really is the Saviour of the world." The Samaritan woman's belief in Jesus and testimony led others to believe for themselves. But we look at Nicodemus. Nicodemus comes at night to speak to Jesus. Perhaps he was afraid and fearful of what other people would think of him coming to speak to Jesus. And I think it's symbolic that he comes at night in the darkness, because this was his spiritual state with Jesus. But he came and he appears eager to learn from Jesus. But in our passage we read from the Gospel of John, Nicodemus misunderstands what Jesus says to him, and he takes his words literally and is really confused what Jesus means about being reborn. And it's really interesting that Nicodemus misunderstands Jesus. Nicodemus, a teacher of Israel who knew much about religion. He knew the word of God, and his problem was not a lack of knowledge. And perhaps his knowledge and his fixed understanding and position in society is what blocked him from true spiritual conversion and understanding who Jesus was. And it's such a contrast to the Samaritan woman. And then Nicodemus disappears from sight, having shown no greater signs or greater comprehension of faith. Nicodemus perhaps portrays a character who has not been completely penetrated by Christ, who asks questions but does not become a disciple, who listens but doesn't really believe. In chapter 7 of John, Nicodemus spoke up for Jesus when the Jewish council discussed ways to try and get rid of Jesus. And later, he assists in Jesus' burial. But in the end, Nicodemus does not become a model disciple. Disciples confess Jesus' identity, remain with him, and tell other people about him. Disciples remain spiritually alive in Christ. So we know that faith is not a once and done action in the believer, but it is an ongoing work of the Spirit, who, as Jesus says in verse 8, blows where it pleases. The wind blows wherever it pleases. You hear its sound, but you cannot tell where it comes from or where it is going. So it is with everyone born of the Spirit. For some, the coming of the Spirit and faith will be a dramatic event. For others, it will move more slowly. And it doesn't matter how we come to meet Jesus, but what is important is that we don't stagnate in our faith. We need to remain spiritually alive and invest in our relationship with Jesus. Are we spiritually alive in Christ? I know that sometimes I can be quite like Nicodemus, settled into a system of life and belief and comfortable in church doing things the way we've always done them. We're so comfortable sometimes that we can miss the Spirit blowing. We can miss the Spirit blowing, prompting us to move. And we maybe miss that chance to hear that new word, that transforming word from God. We can miss things when we aren't open to the Spirit. We can miss things when we're too comfortable locked in our familiar ways of doing things and tradition. And if we aren't careful, we can become observers at church rather than worshippers. And we aren't open to the Spirit helping us and guiding us and leading us to make disciples of others. We can maybe quote our Bibles, but we've not had a transforming spiritual experience or been aware of Jesus' life through his Spirit in our lives or in the lives of other people. We know all about the wine, but we haven't tasted it. And we have become spiritually dull. We must always be on alert to see if we are linked to the spiritually unpredictable Holy Spirit of God. So thank goodness for the Trinity. We have God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And this is Trinity Sunday, when we remember the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And we need that three-in-one triune God. For if we dull one, this will lead to error and will stop us being fully alive for God's kingdom. Are we spiritually alive in Christ? John is inviting us to witness the powerful and unpredictable activity of the Spirit. And as believers, we should pray and give thanks for God's Spirit, eager and ready to testify to God's ongoing activity in our lives. And in this, I'm drawn to verse 11. I tell you the truth, we speak of what we know, and we testify to what we have seen, but still you people do not accept our testimony. And we too need to take this message to heart. We need to speak of what we know and testify to what we have seen, so that God's amazing kingdom and glory can be seen here on earth. And even when we have shared with others time and time again, we need to remember that belief in Jesus can be a longer process for some, and to stay prayerfully patient that the Spirit will fall. And I remembered at this, I told you about my friend who led me to Jesus. She had placed a rock by her bed with my initials on it. And she prayed for me for 10 years that I would come to see the living Jesus. She didn't give up. She kept on praying. Our testimonies are for sharing because they demonstrate the power of Jesus to transform. Your story may not be as dramatic as others, but everyone has their own story. Whether you're brought up as a Christian, or whether you've only become a Christian in the last couple of years, your story has tremendous power. So this week, why don't you tell someone your story and see where God takes it? Our church won't grow if we're hiding our faith from others. Our church won't grow if we're not truly committed to making disciples here in Mogai. Our church won't grow if we're not aware of the Spirit moving, ready to transform us. Jesus is a living reality and has the power to keep on transforming and changing us from the inside out. And he can do this no matter what age or stage we are in our lives. The Spirit has come to set us free. So let's all walk in the light of the Lord. Amen. Lord Jesus, you came, you spoke, you lived, you showed the way. You suffered, you died, you beat death and hell. You gave us your life-transforming Spirit. Live in us and through us. May our lives, our words, our tears, our work all show and tell the world of your great love. In Jesus' name,
Amen. We'll come now and to respond to God's word, and we're going to sing a favourite of mine, and it's called "The Spirit Lives to Set Us Free." Walk, walk in the light. We'll continue in our service by uplifting the offering.
Let us pray. God, our Heavenly Father, we rejoice today in the many ways you reveal yourself to us. We thank you that as we see your creation in summer light, this reveals your power to us. We thank you that as we catch the gaze of those within our family circle, we praise you that it is through relationships that you show your love for us. And we thank you, Father, that in everything that we experience in this life that lifts our spirits, enables us to feel optimistic as we go forward into an unknown future, that you reveal your goodness to us. And we thank you most of all today that in your great plan for our lives, it has been possible for us to know the Lord Jesus Christ through the faithful teaching and proclamation of people who have been sent to open up our eyes to all that he is. And especially today we would think of those we've known in the past who've been great influences upon us as we've journeyed through life and are now beyond our sight, our touch, and our call. We thank you for them and pray that you would lead us home to that place where once again we share fellowship with them, but most of all, that together we will worship the name of Jesus. And we pray, Father, that throughout the world today, your church would be experiencing your presence in all its fullness. We thank you that where the church is persecuted, she might know your comfort and your peace. We pray that wherever the church is complacent, that your spirit would disturb her, stir her up. And we pray that within our own lands at this time, Father, there might be a renewal of awareness of your presence in our midst and a great turning towards your truth for our help and our peace. As we pray for our own church at this time, the Church of Scotland, we ask a blessing upon the new moderator as she begins her year of service and pray that you will sustain her in everything that she's called to do, those things that are planned and those things that are unplanned. We pray for the world at this time, Father, rejoicing in the news that people who would regard themselves as enemies have now pledged themselves to talk, to work together towards the future. But we would remember others who are still divided by tradition, by division of faith, as well as political inclination. And we ask, Father, that men and women would be raised up in our midst who would work for reconciliation and for peace. We pray for our own land at this time. In many ways, a divided people. But we pray, Father, that people would be brought together with a concern for those who are sick, those who are disturbed, those who daily find life impossible because of attitudes around them which would alienate them. Lord, we ask for a country that is more and more shaped according to your values, according to your priorities of justice and peace. And we remember people today, Father, who stand in need of your reassurance as they go through times of ill health, as they experience great loss, and as they struggle with relationships which are threatening to completely shatter their lives. Lord, we pray that you would bless each one as we hold them in our hearts, and ask that you would enable each one of us as we seek to go forward as faithful people, to have grace at all times to respond to those in need, so that they might be touched by the very love of Jesus. And we pray this in his name. Amen. Friends, elders are asked to note that communion cards and duties are now available at the back of the church. As we sing together, "I, the Lord of sea and sky, I have heard my people cry." The peace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all, now and forevermore.